Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Inside Therapy with me, Helen Gregory, and with my lovely colleague, Andrea Colleen. Andrea, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Helen?
I'm really well. We're buzzing, aren't we, today?
Oh, we are. So nice to be things starting to open up in like spring, isn't it? Starting to
it
new
is.
Beginnings.
New beginnings. I like it, yeah. Well, we've both got our new beginnings at the moment, haven't we?
Haven't we just?
Got lots to talk about today because we are talking about what is written on your banner.
What is written on your banner? Yeah, I love it.
Exactly. So what we're going to start doing over the next few weeks is we're going to start exploring a little bit more about alternative therapies, aren't we?
We are.
So alternative remedies really for all sorts of things, and we're not going to get all kind of hippie and all weird on people, are we? We're going to talk very practically about how we can each help ourselves by looking at alternative options other than what is usually offered to us on a plate.
Amen. And one size fits all, which obviously we know does not.
Absolutely.
So usually the medical model is a one size fits all programming. So, you know, when we say complementary medicine, so what does that mean? It means complementing the body, whereas general medicine is usually it's in opposition to the body. You know, we talk about holistic medicine being the natural, you know, there's a natural plant for every remedy for every ailment that we have is out there anyway. Okay. But what they've done is they've taken those and then stuck them with a load of
chemicals
and synthetics that our body picks up straight away and starts to attack and tries to, you know, so it makes another symptom. And then for that we have to take another tablet. And I think people can relate to this. They've got like a dosage box now when you're around 50 of about 5 different or 10 maybe tablets. I've heard people telling me they're taking one for that to stop that ailment, stop that one. And I've been a product of that, and I know you have.
Exactly.
So we're really, really key about complementary medicine and alternative therapy as opposed to the medical model that we've got at the moment.
So this week we're going to sort of set the scene, aren't we? So
we
next
are.
Week and the weeks after we'll probably talk more in detail about all of that, but this week we're really going to set the scene. And this has come about because I have actually signed up to a coach, a life coach. So I'm a life coach myself, but I've signed up to a life coach, so I am having some life coaching myself. And really this is an extension of the therapy that I had with you, Andrea. So I came to see you last July, and I had about almost 6 months of therapy with you, and really I see this as an extension of that therapy. And again, it's all about looking at the problem differently, isn't it? It's about looking at our situation through a different lens, really.
Exactly.
So what we did in my coaching session, my first coaching session last week, is really the basis for a lot of therapy as well as a lot of coaching.
Absolutely.
And it's looking at your behaviours and it's looking at what you've been through as a person over the last 12 months, and it's almost making a foundation, isn't it, from which to move forward.
Yes. So a new plan of action.
Away from the old habits.
Yeah. So first we've got to identify what those habits, thoughts, beliefs are, aren't we?
Yeah, make changes, and I guess really a new
modify
plan.
Them yeah to what we what we want as opposed to what we think we want.
Exactly. And that's about comes back down to understanding yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And what we've been discussing is that actually the crux of everything, so the crux of being a well person, being a well-being, the crux of changing your habits, the crux of getting yourself well if you've been ill, at the crux of all of that is knowing yourself, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And isn't that the gem in all of this? And I think we think quite often we know ourselves, but we don't.
Oh no, it's like an onion, isn't it? There's layers and layers and layers, and you take one layer off and there's something else underneath, and something else and something else. But that in itself should be approached that way, you know. It should be like we're shedding new skin, new month, new day, new, you know, in every hour we could have many, many different thoughts, some from the past that regulates our mood.
Absolutely.
So it's important to know what we're thinking first of all, and then like I said, secondly, the affirmation is when you say it. So if you think I'm a bit thick and then you say I am thick, then you've already affirmed
that you are there,
so your mind's taking that on, because your mind only takes on what you tell it. It doesn't know the difference between being thick or being clever. It doesn't know.
Exactly.
It just knows what you program it to. So it's like, you know what, these are the actions that goes with a thick person. These are the actions, like putting into Google, you know. I'm thick, so what would I do? I say that I'm thick. I don't go to college. I'm not clever enough. I tell myself all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But you said it today. If I stop telling myself this, oh, I'm so creaky in the morning. If you don't even say that, then you've got potential
to not be creaky
potential,
in the morning.
Yes. Yeah, I use that word very, very strongly. Potential of receiving something different.
Yes. Yeah. It's mind over matter.
It really is. And we're learning now so much with the psychology we've got, with the internet, and like we're doing coaching and, you know, helping people to find their niche within how we found ours, in that sense.
Yeah.
Of talk, walking your talk, I think.
And that's it. And I think you and I both feel very, very passionate, don't we, about helping other people discover what we've discovered. So you are the same with your cancer journey, and you're currently writing Cancer Is My Answer, which is going to be all sorts, isn't it? A book, a course, possibly a play.
I want all of that, because I feel there's so many people we can reach with that. Coming from being a nurse, having nurse people with cancer when in my 20s, and looking at the lifestyles and how different people's diagnosis was taken on board and how different the outcome was. But the only thing that's the bugbearer for me is that the treatment is all the same. So to me, that cannot be right.
No, again, one size fits all.
Yeah, and that's how I approach mine, because, you know, as soon as I said I'm a nurse, they don't like it, obviously, because you're in the know.
Yeah.
And knowledge is power at the end of the day, isn't it? So that's my take on things. So you want to help out from the situation you've just been in.
Absolutely, yeah, from being betrayed. Nearly coming up for a year ago now, would you believe? And I have just been on such a journey since then. So with therapy, and then starting my own business, and then now having the coaching. And I want to actually make a difference to other people who've been through all of that, and educate them in terms of, like you, mind, body and spirit.
And this is why we call it the holistic approach, because it's the whole person we're looking at. Like for me, you know, that's why I came out of medicine and went into therapy, because, you know, for me, the medical model is only dealing with the body.
Yes.
In isolation, and cutting bits off the body and not dealing with the mind, where all the emotions and, to me, the headquarters. Why would you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's much harder to just deal with the body in isolation, which is why it doesn't get better. A lot of the time.
Yeah. And as you alluded to earlier, we've both had experience with traditional medicines.
Yep.
And the effects that they have on you. And then the alternative options. So not just taking stuff, not just taking homeopathic remedies or whatever instead of. It's the whole approach, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's the mind, getting the mind in the right mindset. It's then getting the spirit tuned into
meditation and what your downloads might be.
And yoga
is in the body, so that's connecting the spirit to the body. See,
that's
so
it.
And so if we get that, then we're in flow as well. So it's all about being in flow, whereas we've really been taught to be out of flow, actually.
haven't we
And again, we had a bit of that when we had spirit, was like when we were all in churches on and getting our fed that way. But
how prescriptive was that?
Yeah, it was, exactly. So we believed in doctors, we believed in our priests that for our spiritual growth, we believed in hospitals and medicine for our bodies. But where was the
mind?
Yeah, and the mind, we didn't know a lot about it, did we? So like psychology's been on the upsurge, sociology, the yogas, the meditation, they all come from the East. But also, what I'm finding out myself, again, do your own research. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but for me, personally, I've done that research. And to know that there was times in the church that these things were kept away. In the Reformation, it was all put away.
Right.
So actually, our spiritual side, where we could manifest ourselves, was told that, no, you have to go through a priest or through God or someone else to get that. That's my understanding.
Right.
But now...
Right.
that's why the East actually they've never stopped doing it, which is smart. Is that, you know, they've continued. It's only us that have adopted their practices, the yoga, the meditation, and all of that, isn't it? Really. So, but that was a form of prayer, really. Meditation is their way, and our way was form of prayer. So when we've moved away from the church and moved away from praying in the typical sense,
the old-fashioned sense.
I think that's where the disjointedness has come, and we've needed to move in new ways to find that incorporating the mind, body, spirit again.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, it totally does. Yeah. So going back to the title of the show, which is what's written on your banner.
Yeah.
This is an interesting concept, isn't it? Because what we're saying is, what is your heartfelt belief? What is actually written on your banner? Mm-hmm. And it could be just a couple of words. It could be a phrase. It could be several phrases, couldn't it? And so how do we get to this point where we understand what is written on our banner?
Interesting.
Indeed. So we're looking back, aren't we, over what we've done to get us to the point where we know what's written on our banner. So we're looking at what we've achieved, we're looking at what we've learnt, what lessons we've learnt.
Yeah.
And from that, what our beliefs are. And I think beliefs are such a crucial part of knowing who you are.
Yes.
And what we are looking at is from our beliefs where our values come from.
Yes.
So what are our beliefs, what are our values, and what does that mean is written on that banner? If we were going to go down, if we're going to walk down Pall Mall in London, waving a banner and shouting about who we are, what would be on that banner?
That's a great point. Love it.
So what about you? Let's look at your achievements then, Andrea. You look slightly worried then, her eyes roll.
I was just saying, just to keep me. Why are you asking me?
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess, to be perfectly honest, what came to my mind first straight away, I suppose, like most people's, the year 2020, nothing. I'm achieved anything.
Exactly.
But actually, I was on my own little mission, on this cancer mission. So I was trying my best to incorporate, as I'm talking, the mind, body, spirit into releasing the medical model now, because I started to look at the treatment of the chemo and stuff and that, and seeing how my body was deteriorating, to be fair, you know, appetite went and things like that. So I wanted an alternative approach to healing my cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was where it came from. So that been on that one quite a while.
When were you first diagnosed then with breast cancer?
The breast cancer, the very first time I had cancer was 2004 for a skin cancer, mole, that was taken away, and went to Christie's, and then they took away they said it was in the lymph glands, so that was it's gone around the body, so it could be, you know, you need this very heavy chemo, otherwise you're going to die. Now, being a nurse and being spiritual, I said, let's take a step back from this a little bit, let's slow this down. I don't think I'm going to run headlong into that, because I'd seen so many patients over the years take these very high, to my mind anyway, too high toxic medication. So how was the body, unless you were going to support the body, how was it going to cope with that? And that was the experience I had, and there was no nutrition, you know, you'd think you'd have a nutritionist trying to check up on how your body was coping. Nothing like that. So this started to really shake alarm bells to me, and thinking, gosh, when I started my training, I remember as a nurse in 1989, you know, it was crucial. You did food charts with the patient, made sure they were having the balanced diet. You went round to them every day. You asked them what they'd had, when the bowels were moved, how much water they'd had. You kept a record of everything that went in and everything that came out.
And this wasn't for cancer patients.
No,
this was just in general nursing.
Yeah, in general nursing.
And yet, we're fast forwarding, 20 years?
Yeah.
Less than 20 years.
Yeah.
And yet, you didn't have any of that support.
No.
It was just chemotherapy.
If you were ill, you know, you'd think you'd be so hot on the nutrition, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think
the
nutrition would be
round. Get your body in peak state.
Yeah, get your body in peak state so it can handle this. Unfortunately, no. It's just a general question every time you go in. How's your diet? You know, not how's your diet even. How's your eating? Are you being sick? How's your bowels? You know, you got diarrhoea and da da da, whatever. You know, how's your bowel pattern? But not even, you know, going into depth of that assessment.
No, it was always like a tick list.
Yeah, just literally like, you're fine, yeah? To have your treatment, okay, great.
So what treatment did you choose then at that point?
Well, they tried to tell me to go to Christie's for an IV regime, which I refused. And I refused their, they said I could do some oral then. I said, no, I'm not going to do that, those tablets.
Mm.
So I just gingerly started to get into my holistic stuff then. Just starting gradually, because I was at that time as well. My father just died, so I actually look back at this now and I think, was that the beginning, really, of the grief that I was suffering so much from my father's death and just having had a broken relationship and two kids on your own and all that. So I'm wondering if that emotion wasn't dealt with.
Right.
And that
right.
started that seed.
Yeah.
And when I look back, it seems quite apparent.
Plausible, yeah. Very
that's
plausible.
That's how it started to happen.
Mm.
And then as time went on, feeling less and less supported, I guess, in ways, because I was very much on my own with the kids, and I think I was suffering emotionally.
Mm,
but again, in those times, we weren't talking about emotions.
No. So you were burying.
That's right.
Those emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, that was the starting point.
Mm.
And then lucky that I'd been in America 20 years before, and saw that everyone was on therapy, and saw how much, well, seeing how much chaos they had at that point, probably where we are now, to be honest. And then how they were dealing with all this. So it was, everyone had been in therapy. But that must be good then. So, you know, I was looking at and asking around, and I came across the Louise Alhay stuff, You Can Heal Your Life, which was that every organ had an emotion attached to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for instance, the liver represents anger, because it's also our filter. You're filtering out all the toxic stuff, which is why usually the liver's the one that gives up first, or gets damaged when all this chemo is going through.
Right.
So if you haven't got a liver to process that, how are you going to survive, first of all? So then you're dealing with another big issue, aren't you? So I could go on, as I do, because you say, well, how long's this piece of string? But, you know, in time, we're going to be unpacking this, and this is all kind of just coming together right now, in a way.
Yeah.
Because I've just finished with the hospital treatment. I've told them I don't want any more treatment.
This time, with your breast cancer, you've not had any chemo.
At the very beginning, when they that was 2005. That was the skin cancer, and it gone into the lymph glands. So then, in 2012, it came back in the breast cancer. So I had the lump removed, and then they told me it was in the lymph again. So I had the lymph glands out of the axillary, and then they said I should do some radiotherapy. So I decided, and they said chemo, both together. And I was like, still didn't want to have the chemo. So I was like, okay, I'll do the radiation stuff, which consequently damaged my vocal cords. Again, people go, well, you know, you're still living, aren't you? So that's a small price to pay. Not in my book, because I like talking. So I didn't talk for 2 years, which was the best 2 years of my kid's life, apparently, but carried on doing my therapy, because I thought it was so important. And I was calling myself the psychotherapy whisperer, because all the clients who were with me at that point literally were whispering to them. But, you know, I thought it was important that I showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I didn't, you know, I wasn't giving up. I was seeing this as being my challenge. I was seeing this as something bigger than me, that I could, being a nurse, spiritually, I think I'd been asked to do this. That's how I saw it. And I thought, well, who else could do that? Someone who'd been a nurse, somebody who wouldn't be too afraid to not take the treatment and take the risk. And it was a big risk, but thank God it paid off for me. And started to pick up more complementary medicine. So I got into acupuncture, reflexology, met loads of people, friends, in fact, to give the dues, at the time they were just starting a holistic therapy centre downstairs in Christie's, so I lapped that up.
Okay.
I was down there having reflexology, I was down there, but then you're having all this toxic with it, so to me, it's not congruent with what the philosophy is. That's how I see it.
Okay, your achievements then for this year?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, kicking the cancer treatment, that's my main one.
Yeah.
That
is phenomenal, though, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
Yeah, how good do I feel now?
Yeah.
And I feel so
you
much
look
better.
So
my
different.
Energy, I've not got this grey pallor that I walked around with, and feeling like I was climbing out of a box of rubble every morning, literally. Your body is so important.
Yeah.
And the vibration. So again, if we've got that all on board, we can't pick our own, resignate with our own vibration, if you like.
No.
Like when we're meditating and things like that, it's just like nulled.
Yeah.
Which is what they're trying to do, is null the cancer, but then nulling everything else. That's my point.
Yeah. And I think that's where we're going, isn't it, with this, in terms of making sure that we are well And you're a living example of this. You've had cancer and you've overcome it. And we're not saying that every single person can or will want to do this, but whatever state, I've not necessarily been ill in such a sense, but I had the biggest betrayal last year, and that affected me very deeply.
Yeah.
And I have come through this and come out of the other side, and that's my big achievement really for last year.
Absolutely.
In the last 12 months.
Yeah.
And the point of all of this is that whatever it is that you've got going on, you need to overcome it to be in the right place to go forward to the next stage of your life. Because if you don't overcome these things and you bury them away, or you ignore them and hide them and dismiss them in whatever way, you're not healing yourself, are you?
No.
So whilst I wasn't ill, I still needed healing.
Mm.
You had cancer, you needed healing.
Absolutely.
We all have these issues that need healing.
Yes.
Before we go on to the next stage of our lives.
Absolutely.
And in our book, this is what's missing, isn't it? In life, in medicine,
yep.
This is what's missing, is this recognition of what's happened needs to be resolved before we go on to the next stage.
Absolutely. So again, it's an acknowledgement, isn't it? It's like saying, if you were in a relationship but you were just completely self-absorbed, then what's the point of being in a relationship? That's the same thing with yourself. It's like if you're ignoring all your needs and you're going around and doing everything for everybody else but not doing anything for yourself at all, then eventually, what's that message you're sending to yourself?
You're not worthy.
You're not important.
And that's exactly
where
I was.
People are more important than you.
Yeah.
So then all these actions come from that.
Yes.
Don't they? That belief. This is why we're talking about beliefs as the first thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
What do you believe about yourself? Which is why we say, what do you want on your banner? Mm-hmm. What would you have on yours, by the way?
I know what I've got on my banner.
Ooh, come on.
Right, well, this comes from this process of going through your beliefs, working out what your values and your beliefs are. But I'll tell you what's on my banner exactly. I have got three things on mine. My first one is be assertive, get shit done.
Stuff done.
Because
I like it.
It's one thing I've not been over the years, is assertive. I've really not been assertive. And because I've been a people pleaser, and one of the things that I've really changed over the last 9 months of therapy and now through the coaching as well, is my ability to be assertive.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Think about what I want, not in a selfish way, but in a way that looks after me.
Amen.
In a way that nurtures me.
Mm-hmm.
So I make sure that, as your favourite saying is, put your own oxygen mask on first.
Yes. Yeah.
Or you can't give from an empty vessel.
Yes.
So you have to make sure you're in the right place before you can give to anybody else.
Amen. I'm only offering what I have gone through if that's of any benefit to anybody else. And being a nurse and so on, I just feel there's an alternative route to go through cancer and not be ill and not be miserable, but actually can live a good life and maybe resolve it on some level, because that's what I'm doing now, and it came through therapy. If I can't look after myself, my own need, emotionally, physically, mentally, then if I'm in a relationship and I'm not taking care of any of those things, I'm going to expect somebody else
to do it for you.
And like I say to people in therapy, I'm like, you're telling me you're doing everything, this is the program we've got, women are there to do everything for men, for instance, and it's like, that's ridiculous, because how can that individual, you're an individual before you're in a couple or before you're in a relationship, so surely that's what we should be teaching first, that you're empowered, that you are your autonomy, that you're actually, you can do those things for yourself.
Too right.
Because then if you go into a relationship and it doesn't work out, you can still do those things for yourself.
Absolutely.
Because you can come away and still do them.
But the other thing about that is, if you are that autonomous person that has got all your shit together, then you meet somebody else who's also,
I'm just about to say,
got the same qualities.
Yeah.
All you can do is thrive.
Amen.
As a couple.
But
and you're thriving individually as well.
That's right. Exactly. Bang on. Well done, Helen. So
thank you.
It's like, exactly. It's like taking care of your own needs. The oxygen mask is a great example. Because you can't be caring for anybody else if you're not, you're not got that yourself.
No.
And that's the new way. And again, if you go into that relationship, you've got your stuff sorted, you are not going to be as needy on that. That's like saying it's not going to break the relationship. If you've got loads of neediness, that person is not there to be your mum or not there to be your parent.
No.
You're an adult in your own right. You've got choices you can make. Why don't you use them? And I think that's a lot of it. People are not using the skills or the resources and stuff that they've got within themselves, because they're untapped resources.
That's it. And because they're reliant on somebody else, because it's always been that way.
Yes.
And I think it's very easy when you fall out of one relationship to think, to expect that you need to go straight into another one.
Yes.
Because then that satisfies that kind of neediness, that codependency.
Yes. And that's what we're saying, from codependency to independence. Yes?
Yeah, so, very much so.
You know,
very
not,
much so.
Not having that, it's new, you know, I feel like it's a very new paradigm, because if you think about it, the way we've shifted in the last 20 years, instead of women waiting for men to bring the money home and do all women are going out there themselves
and
doing it.
And,
you know, so that's a way of empowering themselves, isn't it? Not being so reliant.
Yeah.
But then also, I think it's a better balance, because in return, men can come and help with the family stuff or the kids that they never did before or so on.
So go back to what's on my t-shirt. So I've got be assertive and get shit done. I've got be honest and authentic, because honesty is honestly one of my number one needs in life.
Yes.
Especially with what's happened over the last 12 months.
Yes.
That
especially.
Has got to be my, it really is, it's so important to me, is that I'm all honest and authentic. So I show up as being 100% honest. So I live by the rule that I don't even tell a white lie. If I can help it, there are times when you fall into this thing to be nice to somebody, but I 100% try and be 100% honest
authentic,
at all times.
Exactly. So you're authentic, you're going to attract authentic.
You would
Whereas
hope,
if you are often, well, again, you can't attract anything that you're not. Like a magnet. But what we're shifting to now is, apart from owning your own power, replacing that codependency, people-pleasing women very much have been geared towards with an assertiveness and an empowerment.
Exactly.
So
that's
you're
exactly
a better
it.
Human being. And like I say to people in therapy, what do you want? Oh, I want this kind of partner. I want this, this, and this. Okay, then become all of those things. And then
and that's
you can
what
attract,
you'll
attract it.
And then the last thing on my t-shirt is be in tune with mind, body, and spirit, because I feel like I've done so much work terms of my changing my mindset. That's the big thing. Changing my mindset. And that's enabled me to change my body.
Yes.
And it's enabled me to change my whole view on spirituality and the universe and all of those good things that come from that. So,
so you've been able to receive more help from those areas as well, haven't you? So when the, you know, you've split up with your partner, but what's happened, you've given you some space to work on all of those things that you really wanted, hasn't it?
Oh, it has.
And
incredible.
That's why I said you've been an absolutely, it's not just been about therapy. It's been about the holistic approach, and that's what I'm advocating now. We need to be working. This is what doesn't work, isn't it? Like with mental health stuff, all due respect.
Yeah.
Throwing someone on some tablets and then giving them a caseworker that then changes next week and the week after that and the week after, and he's not home and then he's on holiday, and that is not going to work for someone who's unstable. Think about it. If you're unstable,
it's not going to work for somebody who's stable, let alone if they're unstable.
Well, exactly, but isn't it? It's supposed to have someone stable to get someone who's unstable stable.
Back to being stable, yeah. So what's on your banner?
My banner would have to be, I am on a unique journey.
I love it. I'm on a unique journey. Are you ever?
And so is everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So that's the way I would come from, and I think if we embrace that, you know, that we all are special, not just some people, because that's what we get, you know, they're luckier than me, they've got more than me. No, everybody's from the divine, whatever you want to say. Everybody's a little fragment of that divine, and it's up to you, that fragment, to, you know, plant that seed. And it's within you, so it's like, you know, finding out, going within, whether it's through meditation or prayer or however you access that inner part of you. Then you know, and that's connected to the divine, and then you can get messages and guidance from the divine that's divinely yours. No one else's. People don't have to fight about, because it's like there's a divine path for everybody, and nobody's on the same one. That's what's so unique. We're all having a collective experience, but in a unique and individual way.
And isn't that the truth? Yeah, there's similarities across the board, aren't there, in terms of, you know, I could say, well, I've had that experience and you've had that experience, but we're all on our own unique individual journey. And you know, that's what I really want to promote with my course, Stop Sobbing, Start Living, which I'm going to be launching in the next 2 weeks. That is such a powerful part of it, is being able to say, this is your journey, this is what you can do to make your journey better, to improve your quality of life,
Absolutely.
To actually turn things around and be happy.
Yes.
The big thing, I think, for everybody in life is to be happy.
Yeah, every single person who comes to sit on the couch and I say, what do you want? They go, to be happy. And I say, what is happiness for you?
Yes.
Somebody, you know, some people it's driving a fast boat and having two houses or living in the sun. But, you know, you've got to define that first before you can make a journey to get there.
But those are more material things, aren't they? And I think what we need to understand is that the material things will probably follow once we sort our own selves out.
The core. The core
shit
of us.
Out.
Yeah, well said. Oh my God. Mm. So, you know, you sort your shit out, then you get shit done, as you say.
True.
We throw away these comments all the time, don't we? Yeah. Get your shit together.
What? Get shit done.
Get shit done. Yeah. Sort it out, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think what we've now realised is, and definitely for me, for therapy, is, if I was to look at that cancer back then, I could say, it was probably all the things that I didn't realise that I had maybe this learning difficulty that maybe on the spectrum somewhere, as we say, we all are, to a degree, but we're not poo-pooing any of the difficulties. But if we actually looked at them, like the ADDs, like dyslexia and all these things, we're finding out now that a lot of it is about traumas.
And if we could release the managed.
Trauma, so it's become like a behaviour to manage that trauma. Because like I'll say to people, you know, if they go, I've got, like doctors tell them they've got general anxiety disorder, what does that mean? So you're anxious about everything, basically.
Okay.
Right? But where's that initial anxiety coming from? That's what I'll do. Mm. I'll track that back, because to me, again, a tablet will just push it down and suppress it.
Yep.
To me, in this day and age, if you're taking antidepressants, those were 20 years ago. Those were meant to go alongside therapy, like your RSJ when you're renovating your house, as I say to people. That's what they're for. And I'm there to hold the RSJ in place while you renovate the house. And then when the house is renovated, I leave. And you've got, it may be granny's old house that you don't want to let go of, but the inside needs to be modernised because it's done for the 1920s. Doesn't work in 2020. So you might have nostalgia about it. You keep the outside, still look out on the same aspect of the garden, for instance, but you've got a modern
interior. Another brilliant Andrea analogy. I've done one of those for a while.
I've just got the best partner here for doing this. Is, you know, but it's a symbiotic relationship, isn't it? Where we do, you know, share a lot and we understand a lot and share ourselves, and that's the point we're making. It's a really great time now. No one has to hide anymore. We can all speak about these things and we can get to the bottom. I'm absolutely sitting here saying, I did that. I buried that for so many years, so many difficult emotions.
You are such a great advocate for alternative therapies, and that's what you taught me. You know, this is where my interest began, because you didn't just treat my situation, which was me being betrayed by my partner. You treated my mind, body and spirit. You treated me holistically, and that is why I'm where I am now. That's not just a false kind of praise.
No, I've always said that to you. You did do that, and you know, that's what I think is that's what the holistic medicine should be. That's where we should be, really, in 20, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
2021.
Yeah.
Natural. We try, because again, everyone's eating the natural, but then, you know, half are eating all these processed stuff, and the way organic's got to be what we used to have was the norm. With no pesticides and
absolutely.
All that. We've got to pay through the nose to get it if we don't want pesticides. Yeah. I mean, again.
I know.
So ingesting all of those, are we surprised we build these carcinogens and all of that? But to my mind...
But this is for next week.
Yeah, that's for another day, okay? But this is what I mean, you know, there's so much we can talk about.
Yes.
And there's so much we can do. So if this floats your boat, if this interests you, please get in touch. We'd love to hear your story. Or if you feel that you would like to be coached, helped by Helen or myself, please get in touch, because we've got the tools here to help you,
haven't we?
And you can improve your life with a few steps, can't you? I mean, look, we've all done 40 years in one mindset, and just changing it over 6 months, what a benefit.
Totally
transformation,
real transformation. Fabulous. Well, next week we'll explore the alternative therapies that we've alluded to today in a little bit more depth. But thank you for today, Andrew. That's been enlightening.
Thank you, Helen. And I'd like everybody to be thinking, what would you write on your banner? That's
absolutely
what we really want to leave with you today.
Yeah.
So blessings,
give us some feedback,
everybody, and have a lovely week, and hope to hear from you soon. Take care.
Bye.